Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
The Christian philosophy of suffering for Christ is that out of tribulation comes triumph, out of persecution, a prize, and out of death comes life. All opposite of any natural reasoning of man. Today, we are discussing the wonderful treasures that are promised to those of us who overcome and endure the sufferings, that we can rejoice to be counted worthy to suffer for Christ's sake. So join in the conversation as we unveil the promises from persecution. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through about 11, Janie, is really encouragement from understanding who the enemy is that we're facing. It says that he is an adversary. He's the roaring lion who is seeking whom he may devour, and that we are to resist him and stay steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by our brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us by his eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you.
Well, as Sharon, you started off, I think, with, was it verse 8 in 1 Peter, was it?
Verse 8, okay. To be that the devil is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
And I like the two verses before that. Let's don't let those drop out, because it tells us, since we know that we've got this warfare and it's going to come through some different forms of persecution and testing, the Lord says, hey, now don't get upset. Just cast all your cares upon me, because I'm caring for you and I'm really in charge of your persecution.
Right.
All right. And then I always like to have a motivation. And verse 6 says, now humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Do you know, most of us spend most of our lives learning what it is to walk humbly before Almighty God. One of the qualities where God expresses who he is through Jesus Christ is, I am humble, meek, and lowly.
Yeah, yes.
And so a lot of us spend most of our time going through seasons of persecution, really as a refining tool to get rid of the dross and the nothingness, so that he may exalt us. And then he says that one of the promises he wants to give us is a crown of life.
Right.
And you know, Sharon, I have to confess, I struggled with that for a while, because I thought, you know, I'm already a Christian. I already have eternal life. What's the big deal about getting a crown of life?
Well, that's true. And I've really kind of heard people talk like that. You know, what do I need a crown for? I can just go to heaven. I don't have to be dolled up with a crown.
And a really good point that has helped humble me, I certainly am not saying I'm there yet, is the fact that I want to cast the crowns at his feet, not to get recognition, but to confirm that he has been able to effectually work in my life, overcoming the enemy, so that my life is a testimony to his sufficiency in every trial and form of persecution.
Oh, you mean that crown goes back to him? It's all about him, isn't it?
That's right. That's right.
We forget that it's all about him.
And so for the Lord to be able to say, thank you for casting him at my feet.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for acknowledging that you were willing to allow me to humble you, break you, not to take you until the right time, but to make you into what I created you for before the foundations of the world.
Well, you know, Janie, as we've talked about Smyrna, the suffering church, in Scripture, he tells them to hold fast and to overcome. In every one of those churches, he gives them a encouraging word to stand fast and to overcome.
And Sharon, that's good counsel. Now let's just get real practical. He tells us that. We know it's true. But when the heat hits, does the fear, the knot in the stomach, the brain waves, still have to fight that as truth even though we know it?
Well, of course.
And so now we need someone to come alongside us and help us with resisting the roaring lion, resisting where he wants us to be steadfast and the enemy wants us to buckle. And so one of the promises that God gives us is that he will never leave us nor quit caring for us. And sometimes, Sharon, that is made known through our brothers and sisters in Christ. So a gift to me is you, because you can help encourage, resist when I need that strengthening, and vice versa. And we have a tendency to get so wrapped up in our suffering that we really forget that the actual goal is so we'll be humbled to become Christ-like in everything.
Well, and if we're fearful in those persecutions, then we're not faithful. And when he's talking to Smyrna, he says, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life."
And do you hear what the priority is? It doesn't say, "Church, be faithful to the point of death, and then I will just shower you with a bunch of earthly blessings, or I will just make your life easy after you've suffered for a season. Then I'll just give you a smooth road right up into heaven." And there are some doctrinal teachings that teach that.
Mm-hmm.
If you go through a little bit of stuff, then we'll get it fixed, and then you can just cruise your way right up to the throne room. That's not what the Lord told us, because we don't have a temporal God. We have an eternal God.
Yes.
And his first priority is how he sees things through his eyes, which is in light of eternity. So when he says, "I'm promising you a crown of life, I'm promising you an overcoming life,"
mm-hmm,
if you choose to do what I've asked you to do. And that takes us back to Smyrna in Revelation. That can even flip us over to 1 Corinthians 13, where he gives us the secret about knowing him, knowing our priorities. And it's all wrapped up in his love, because he doesn't have love. He is love.
Well, and I think that we forget that we have things upside down when we look at things temporal. From death comes life. From tribulation comes triumph. So in 2 Thessalonians 1,
mm-hmm,
verse 4 says, "So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure."
We can have our world turned upside down, because to have patience and faith in persecution is really logically stupid. You try to get out of it.
Yeah.
You don't work at enduring it by faith and by patience. But then if you continue on in this passage that you've selected, it says, "This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you can be counted worthy for the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer." So right there, he's giving us a larger picture. This would be thinking outside the normal box.
Right.
So you suffer with patience and faith, because he is going to make known his righteousness. And then he says in verse 6 of 2 Thessalonians 1, he says, "It is a righteous thing with God to repay tribulation with those who trouble you." Now, I guess if you thought in everyday language, you could think, the bully that's trying to destroy me, God's going to come along and he's going to take care of that bully.
Right. Okay.
And he will give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. So he doesn't promise you instant deliverance. Now, you might have it on one occasion, but you may not have it on the other, because you're going to have various trials and temptations. So if he delivers you supernaturally, instantly from one affair, doesn't mean that you get discouraged if he asks you to walk through another trial, because you are to suffer for his sake, you are to suffer for others' sake, and you're to suffer for your own sake. There's a lot of purpose in suffering, none of which makes us want to go out and celebrate. But next to having pure love in our hearts, we are told to endure.
Oh, wow, Janie, that puts a whole new perspective on sufferings. And those are the promises that come from the persecutions that have nothing to do with the material things of this life.
Well, and the Lord's not going to try to get you all comfortable here, because he really says
it's not your home.
It's not your home.
Right.
I don't want you living in some rental house here where I've got a mansion waiting for you. So he says, look, in James 1, he says, I can bring spiritual maturity to get you prepared to reign with me out of persecution. Child, don't fight me on that.
Yeah.
I'm not being cruel. I'm not being harsh. I know what it takes in each individual life to get the dross, to get the nothingness, to get the flesh, to get the garbage out of your life.
And I think that's so important that we realize that God is not doing things to us to hurt us. And that every situation that we go through, God can turn to good.
We had to be hurt. And Jesus Christ said, just put all that to my account. And that's why we have the cross.
Oh, yeah.
So now the Lord doesn't even have it on his radar, if he has radar, that he wants to hurt us. He does want to child train us. So he says sometimes we do go through chastisement, but it's out of love to get us ready for something that if we could see it, we'd probably die of a heart attack. It's too marvelous.
Right.
And he says that in Ephesians 3, hey, I've got things planned for you that you cannot understand now, so I'm not even going there.
Right.
But I've already placed it in my agenda for you to enjoy forever. So go through what I need to do to get the junk and the gunk out of your flesh, get it rendered inoperative so that it doesn't control and mar you, because I want you to have everything in eternity that I've already planned for you.
Well, you know, Janie, it reminds me of the training that I do with my kids. You know, you do chastise them, and then you monitor how they receive that chastisement. How are they handling this discipline, to see if they are coming along in maturity, and how much you can give them on the other side of this chastisement, on the other side of this discipline time.
And you don't necessarily have to keep them in solid child training. You know, the church at Smyrna, the scriptures tell us, had 10 seasons. And they basically, that ran from like about 150 A.D. to 310, 312 A.D. There were times when they could catch their breath.
Right.
And I know I've watched you over the last few years raising your children. And when you see them moving forward, I mean, you are almost giggle happy. And you bless them and you praise them and you encourage them. Sharon, if as a parent in a temporal body, and you do that for your child out of a heart of love, what do you think the Father wants to do for us out of his heart of love?
Right. So true.
And when you really talk about love, you can be talking about just going to the heart of love. That's one of my favorite chapters, 1 Corinthians 13. And so there he says in verses 1 through 3, let me show you what the preeminence of love is over everything else, over martyrdom, over all knowledge, over all your good works, over all you knowing the mysteries. Let me tell you what supersedes everything that I'm bringing about through seasons of testing and persecution. And when I think about love, I want to remember that persecution reveals Jesus in us. And Jesus says, I am love. God is love. Holy Spirit is the communicator right now of what God the Father and Jesus Christ is. And so I'm bringing out the preeminence of love over everything else in our life that we can accomplish. Then he goes on and tells us a little bit more about this love. And he says, now I want you to practice what real love is, but I'm going to give you some examples of what love isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So that you are aware that if you're getting provoked, that if you want to be rude, that if you want your own agenda, that's not my love. So I may have to bring some testings and some trials into your life so you can weed out what you think love can get by with, but it can't.
Right.
All right?
That's good.
And then in verses 7 and 8, which should be the hope of every Christian, because hope is based on the person of Christ, there is the permanence of true love. And you know what? I have only been jilted by a couple of fellows in my life. It hurt even as a young teenage girl to know that the fellow that you thought you really had a crush on you didn't want anything to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a very simple explanation, but I know that hurt. So to have the permanence of true love, knowing that God's love is the enduring quality that will never, ever fail us, not only while we're here temporarily, but throughout eternity. I don't ever have to worry about the Lord going to another one of my brothers and sisters and saying, you know I brought Janie here to heaven, but I just really can't get a handle on her. Would you please go and talk to her?
That is such a good point, Jenny. We don't have to worry about the Lord going to any other of our brothers and sisters and complaining about us.
He's not going to be talking behind my back.
Wow. I had not even thought about that, but that is so true.
And he has a sincere heart. And he says, now I want to teach you how to have a sincere heart before you get here home permanently.
Well, you know, the persecution that we go through should always glorify the Lord. And sometimes that persecution comes from our brothers and sisters in Christ, doesn't it?
Yes. I won't elaborate there. But yes, I will say it is. And it's not always with vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they are so walking difficult waters that they've lost their sensitivity.
So we have to remember what Ephesians 6 says, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So when we find that we are being persecuted by another saint, another believer, one of our brothers and sisters in Christ, it is not them that we're wrestling with. It's against the principalities and powers.
Yes, and do you know a principality and a power or an evil force can actually take our gifts and simply causing us to misuse those gifts with a critical spirit?
Oh.
Or I can judge you according to my gift, but your gift may be totally different, but I'm judging you according to what I know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a good principle here, Sharon. The gifts of the Spirit are very important, and they will be evidenced by how we are exercising the fruit of the Spirit. And if the fruit of the Spirit is being evidenced in genuine love, tenderness, gentleness, kindness,
mm-hmm.
then the gifts will come into alignment, and we will be able to effectually help one another if they are in a trial or a testing. And do you know what? As we help them, we will be helping ourselves in our own trials.
Well, you know, Hebrews 13:3 says that we should remember those in prison as if we were there ourselves.
And Sharon, how do you do that from your head if you're not doing it from a broken heart?
Yeah.
And it's so easy to look at some country where people are being beheaded today and decide to give it a couple of minute prayer at church.
Well, and I'm just thinking even about the brothers and sisters in Christ who are persecuting us. You know, they may be in a prison of depression, in a prison of insecurity, unknowns that we don't even realize that they're in. And so we have to remember to care for those people and pray for them.
Well, and I wonder how many of us are awakened at 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning with the Holy Spirit, knowing that He is wanting our prayers at that time, at that inconvenient time when sleep would be so much sweeter. But He's saying, I'm calling on you to stand in the gap for these saints that are in Turkey, in Russia, in the U.S., in Mexico, in Canada, wherever they may be. Or do we just roll over and go back to sleep? How engaged are we in resisting the enemy, even when it causes inconvenience, maybe eventually even to the point of death? Are we committed?
Well, Janie, commitment is kind of where we lack a lot in our Christian faith. I mean, we'd be committed to going to church or committed to having fellowship, but how many of us are really committed to the Word of God, committed to spending time in prayer, committed to that relationship with Jesus Christ? And that takes me to Hebrews 4:12. It says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart."
And so the Word of God tells me how to go through persecution. The Word of God tells me how to go through suffering unjust with rejoicing. It tells me to prepare. It equips me. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord has a beautiful command. He says, redeem the time and occupy till I either call you home or I come back for you.
Right.
And then if he was to sign off on a love letter, he would say, now remember that I've asked you to love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. And you can do that because I first loved you, and now I've given you all the ability and the capacity to love me back and to love others. You're not doing it in your own strength. You're doing it for me, unto me, and by me. And that's what Romans 11:36 says. Everything is done to him, for him, and by him. And he wouldn't leave us stranded with a command that we could not fulfill by and through and to him.
So he's given us everything that we need to accomplish everything that he's asked us to do. He doesn't ask us to do things, ask us to go through things without giving us everything that we could possibly need to endure and to overcome what he's required.
And you know what? In a word, that's himself.
Amen. So the promises from persecution is that it leads to spiritual maturity. It earns us heavenly rewards. Its purpose is to reveal Jesus Christ in us. And when we go through persecutions with a joyful heart, we always encourage others to be more courageous in their testimony. And persecution should always glorify Christ. 1 Peter 1:6 and 7 says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." That's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at sharonhearts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, hearts, HEARTS.org.